Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely fantastic day today. I hope you guys enjoyed the Hagman Show last night. Lots of information on that as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, absolutely blessed, doing wonderful. The weather here is a little bit cloudy right now, but supposed to clear up later on today, so it's another warm day in Central Florida with a lot of activity in the clouds. So I'm doing absolutely amazing, for this is the day the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's interesting. Today we have an article that hit Drudge that says the U.S. creates 263,000 jobs in April. Unemployment falls to 3.6%. Now, let me stop here for one second, okay? Here's what's going on with this whole unemployment thing. Under the Clinton administration, they decided to change how they looked at unemployment. And people who no longer were looking for jobs or couldn't find a job and fell off the unemployment rolls were basically counted as being employed. They were no longer counted as being unemployed. They changed all that over about 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago. And so now they are able to fudge these numbers and make everybody feel as though there's 3.6% of the people unemployed in the United States. So let's round that up. So you figure you got 300 million people on the average, whatever, give or take a few tens of millions of illegals. Let's just bump that up to about 400 million. That means because of the illegals. And so let's say 4% is unemployed. So that's about 16 million people unemployed, give or take some numbers. That's roughly it, probably 10 to 16 million. Those numbers aren't accurate. The actual number of unemployed people in the United States is over 100 million. It's about approximately a little under a third of the entire population is unemployed. And so we need to understand that these numbers are skewed. Now, what's funny about this is they're saying now that the average wage is almost $30 an hour. What we have going on right now, and there's no other way of saying it, we're having really bad inflation. I mean, bad. You know, housing costs are going through the roof, food costs are going through the roof, and all of these things are happening as Rome fiddles in D.C. and everybody wonders about who Mueller and Barr are going to be investigating or going to jail or whatever's going on next. It's the dog and pony and circus shows, all it is, and we've talked about this so many times because they want you to pay attention to the soap opera. My mom, bless her heart, she got addicted to soap operas back in the 70s and 80s, and she'd watch soap operas every single day. And if you try to talk to her during a soap opera, she'd flip out. I mean, flip. She'd just get mad. And I learned not to go visit her during the times when she was watching her soap operas. And I finally told her, Mom, I said, Mom, here's the deal. Here's what's going on with the soap operas. Somebody's about to get in trouble. Somebody is in trouble, or somebody's getting out of trouble, and that's what's going to happen today. Nothing else. And I said, but that's just what you, but this just was a complete and total waste of time. But she got addicted to them. Like a lot of other people, a lot of ladies and guys both, who work outside of the home, or don't work outside, or maybe they work inside of the home or whatever, or they don't work at all, or they work inside of the home. I mean, okay, I'm digging myself into a ditch with women right now. Women work inside of the home, and so do men when they're home. Everybody works inside of the home. A lot of times when people are working inside of the home, if they don't have a regular job, they stop for the regular day and they watch soap operas. There, I said a little better off so I don't get in trouble, because it's just, you know, one time my wife was at I forgot where we were. We were at some place filling out an application for something, and the lady who took the application for my wife was down, you know, homemaker and mother. She goes, I'm sorry. And Sharon looked at her and says, I'm not. What's wrong with you? I'm blessed to be a mother and a homemaker and a wife. And the lady at the counter couldn't understand it. It was so obvious that she'd been programmed to believe that everybody has to work all the time. But that has nothing to do with the soap operas. Soap operas are addictive, all right? So America and basically what's going on in D.C. is basically a whole bunch of soap opera nonsense is what it is. It's basically another reality show that's going on and on and on and on. So what we have to understand very quickly is that this soap opera needs to be ignored, and you don't need to be watching it. You need to be looking at the real, real numbers. Now, Paul Craig Roberts wrote a really good article. He says, does America have an economy or any sense of reality? He goes, we're having a propaganda barrage by the great Trump economy, or we should call it hyperinflation. We have been hearing about the great economy for a decade while the labor force participation rate declined, real family income stagnated, and debt burdens rose. The economy has been great only for large equity owners whose stock ownership benefited from the trillions of dollars the Fed poured into financial markets and from buybacks by corporations of their own stocks. He goes, I've pointed out for years that the jobs markets and reports are fabrications and that the jobs that do exist are lowly paid domestic jobs such as waitresses and bartenders and healthcare and social assistance. What has kept the American economy going is the expansion of consumer debt. Here we go. Now we're on the real trick here, okay? Not higher pay from higher productivity. The reported low unemployment rate is obtained not by counting discouraged workers who have given up by not finding a job. It's also, remember, being fueled by student loans, over $1 trillion now. These students are like drunken sailors, some of them, when they get their checks. They're out buying cameras and TVs and just wasting money in bars, and this is what they're doing. So the money is all being fueled by debt. Yes. Do you remember the corporate money that Trump tax cut was supposed to bring back to American investment? It was all BS. Yesterday, I read a report that Apple's losing $1 trillion in market valuation because Apple is – it's losing its $1 trillion market valuation because Apple's using its profits to buy back its own stock. In other words, the demand for Apple's products don't justify more investment. Therefore, the best use of the profit is to repurchase the equity shares, just shrinking Apple's capitalization, raising stock prices. The great economy does not include expanding demand for Apple's products. I also read endless store and mall closings, losses falsely attributed to online purchasing, which only accounts for a small percentage of sales. Federal Reserve data reports that a large percentage of the younger workforce live at home with parents because the jobs available to them are insufficient to pay for independent existence. How then can they pay for real estate, home furnishings, and appliances and the markets all be strong? It's through debt. When a couple of years ago, I wrote of the danger of jobs offshoring to the American middle class, states, and local government budgets, the pension funds, and idiots, critics raised the charge of Luddite. Now, the Luddites were wrong. Now, let me tell you, let me stop for a second. Paul's talking about Luddites here. I learned about this in the MBA program 40 years ago. A Luddite was a group of people with like a secret society in England, and it happened during the Industrial Revolution. And when they were mechanizing, especially in the textile industry with clothes and sewing machines and all that kind of stuff, and they were learning how to make weave garments through machines, the Luddites would come in and they were angry their jobs were being taken away. And they would destroy the equipment. They'd come in and bang up the equipment, throw things into the equipment, throw wrenches into the equipment, destroy the equipment, sabotage the equipment so they wouldn't lose their jobs. That's who the Luddites are. Okay, so let me give you a little background on that. Because the Luddites were wrong. Mechanization raised the productivity of labor and real wages, but jobs, offshoring shifts jobs from the domestic economy to abroad. Domestic labor is displaced, but overseas labor gets the jobs, thus boosting jobs there. In other words, labor income declines in the country that loses jobs and rises in the country to which the jobs are offshored. This is the way American corporations spurred the economic development of China. It was the jobs were being shipped to China far more rapidly than the CIA, Rothschild-controlled Sabotin complex expected. In contrast, robotics, instead of displacing labor, eliminates it. Unlike jobs offshoring, which shifted jobs from the U.S. to China, robotics will cause job losses in both countries. As consumer incomes fall, the demand for output also falls, and so will productivity. Robotics then is the way to shrink the gross domestic product. And he goes on with this article. I'm not going to finish it, but this is a really, 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 really good article. And he finishes by saying, a country incapable of dealing with any real problems has no future. And that's what the United States is doing. The United States is basically destroying itself by sending us, and Ross Perot warned us all back in the early 90s. He said, you're going to hear a giant sucking sound of all the jobs leaving the United States going to South and Central America and China under the Clinton administration. That's exactly what happened. So, guys, it's so very important that everybody understands who and what's going on and what these guys are doing. And now also, this 200 million pigs that have died. Bloomberg put this article up today. It says, pig, Ebola virus. Now, think about what they're saying. The pig Ebola virus sends shockwaves through the global food chain. Now, this is not Ebola virus. It's the African swine fever, okay? But they're calling it the Ebola virus to put that in your head that Ebola is shocking the global food chain by killing hundreds of millions of pigs. This is a mind game. They're playing with your head again. it's not the Ebola virus that's killing pigs. It's the swine flu in these doggone pigs, and basically is how they're kept and a whole bunch of other reasons. But these things are very sickly animals to begin with, but they're messing with everybody's head again. Why do they do this? Because they like doing it. They want to make sure they can do whatever they do as well as they do can do it to make sure that they, you know, basically cause as much problems as they possibly cause. Let me give you another example. Washington Post came out with an article, and it was kind of interesting. It's called Mind Games, and it talks about the voice-to-skull technology and how they've received the information from the Freedom of Information Act and how it really, really, really is real. I'm posting this on the website. He says, these guys are not your usual victims. This isn't a group of alcoholics, drug addicts, or survivors of childhood abuse. The people connecting on this call are self-described victims of mind control, people who believe they've been targeted by a secret government program that tracks them around the clock using voice-to-mind technology to probe and control their minds. Now, think about this for a second. You go back on my website, you can read all of this. But guys, this is what these guys are doing. This is the technology. This is called psychotronic. These are psychotronic weapons. In fact, years ago, Congress tried to pass laws against using psychotronic weapons because it literally creates an electronic concentration camp. Think about what I'm saying. So, you know, you have all of this stuff being done to us on an ongoing basis. These people think they're getting messages from God. They're thinking they can go out and shoot people or kill people and it's a message from God. And how do we know the government's not doing this? How do we know these people that are saying that they're actually hearing these voices really aren't hearing voices? And now this stuff's been disclosed from the Washington Post, no less, about this technology that's available. Now you think to yourself, well, the Washington Post, that's kind of a, you know, a liberal rag. Well, you got to remember something, guys. These guys, because of white magic, it's also called lesser magic, they've got to tell you what they're planning on doing to you. It's part of the karma on the other side that they believe happens to them if they don't tell you the truth. And this is the point of me talking about this. Be aware of what's happening. You know, let me just share this with you. God's word can't be contradicted. If someone decided to target you and say, do such and such, and it conflicts with what the Word of God says, it's not God. I'm just giving you a heads up here real quick, all right? This ain't God you're listening to. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't real people out there that have schizophrenia who gets voice in their heads that's not being targeted. That's a condition that can happen. I'm not even trying to talk about that right now. What I'm talking about is this voice-to-skull technology that's now been fully disclosed through the psychotronic warfare that our CIA does, which is going to tie us all, here we go, get ready, into the 5G network to track us, to be able to control us and to track us. And how do we know they're not going to use the 5G technology to use voice to skull and tell you, oh, you need to go ahead and go to the FEMA camp. I need to go to the FEMA camp. But that's how they would say it to you. They would say, you need to go. They'd say, I need to go. That's how the voice would go in. I need to go to the FEMA camp. So you're thinking yourself, you're being told, you're thinking, I've got to go to the FEMA camp. They've got food and water there. I need to go to the FEMA camp. I need to get my vaccine. I need to get my vaccine. The Ebola is coming. I need to get an Ebola vaccine. Guys, these nightmare druids, these wizards that run the world, you think it's beyond their point to do something like this to an entire mass group of population? That one movie we talked about this several times, Austin, that came out a few years ago, The Kingsman. They were using that technology, that frequency on cell phones, that they would put a certain frequency through the cell phone to make everybody extremely angry and agitated, start fighting with each other. Guys, we have the frequencies available to us right now that they can hit you with one of these weapons, and they can make you unbelievably nauseous and throwing up. They can make you go to sleep almost instantly. They can make you feel unbelievably uneasy and ill. They can do all of this stuff to you very, very quickly. Why? Because they can. They have the technology to do this, and this is the kind of stuff that they do and want to do. So when we have Donald Trump, no comment, when Donald Trump comes in and says we're going to push 5G and we're going to be ahead of everybody else, remember, Israel developed 5G. They're not installing 5G in Israel. Just thought I'd mention that to you. And what's funny about this is when we have Donald Trump saying, hey, we're going to push 5G, you know, and damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, blah, 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 and they're going to go ahead and do everything they possibly can to get this implemented as quickly as they can with no safety protocols in place, it's got to tell you there's a problem here. And, guys, this problem is not going to get better until we stop focusing on the rhetoric that they're giving us to think about, which is obfuscating the truth and the facts, we've got to stay focused on what they're doing. We have to stay focused on the fact that they're pushing Ebola now, even today, talking about the Ebola virus that's killing these pigs. It's complete nonsense. It's swine flu. They're going to be talking about the swine flu forever now, along with the Ebola problems. They're talking about Ebola coming over the country. All of this stuff, to me, is just getting us ready for their next set of vaccines, which could do all kinds of damage to human beings, including infecting the entire population with Ebola. Remember a few years ago, Baxter Labs out of Austria sent up to, I believe it was Hungary or maybe in Poland. This is back when that swine flu, bird flu thing was going on real big. It was H1N5. I can't remember the exact name of it. They sent a whole bunch of vaccines for this particular virus. I think it was to Poland or Hungary. And I mean, hundreds of thousands of dosage. And when the guy tested it on, he had enough sense. He tested this virus on his ferrets. These are animals they were using for testing in the laboratory to see what would happen to them. They were all dead the next day. They all died. They all died from the virus. And they also, they found out this was live avian flu they'd sent out. It was live. Had they injected hundreds of thousands of people, the population would have been crippled with this stuff. This doesn't happen by accident. There are too many safety protocols in these major laboratories of these drug manufacturers producing these vaccines. They know what they're doing. There's too many stopgap measures to prevent this from happening. Be careful, guys. Be careful on who and what you believe. Austin, what do you think, bud?
That's very well said. And what's crazy, too, I pulled up Health Impact News this morning, and Del Bigtree, if you guys remember, he was the producer and director of the movie Vaxxed. Well, he now has just released a huge Freedom of Information Act disclosure from the FDA that revealed the MMR vaccine was licensed based on clinical trials, which totaled in less than 1,000 participants. Of those, only 342 were children. What happened was there was a huge lawsuit last year that got zero coverage whatsoever. It was of Maggio, Christopher, and Taloth. It was announced in July of 2018 that they had negotiated a $101 million settlement from Merck. Merck. Oh, that's right. Merck. Isn't that the same company that has the unlicensed Ebola vaccine in Africa? Yes, that's the exact same company. They negotiated a $101 million settlement from Merck. Don't know how they pulled this off on here for an infant who suffered a severe brain injury, vision impairment, low muscle tone, and kidney failure due to the MMR vaccine. Now, what I'm trying to figure out is, I guess they, because they didn't actually, they can't sue the company, I guess Merck decided to settle with them outside of court because they did not want any more political exposure that they were trying to get on it. Well, the aspect of what happened was this whole group got a Freedom of Information Act from the FDA. And they got all the information on why and how the MMR vaccine actually passed FDA approval. And a few of the key highlights in this is there were only 8 clinical trials that totaled altogether in less than 1,000 individuals, out of which only 342 children were in that, and they received the MMR vaccine. The safety review period only tracked adverse events for 42 days after the injection of the MMR vaccine. They said more than half of all participants in each of the 8 trials developed gastrointestinal symptoms and upper respiratory infections. All adverse events were generically described as other viruses and not considered in safety profile of licensure. The control group received other vaccines for either rubella or measles and rubella. None of the control group received a placebo. So they didn't have any double-blind clinical studies. The control group still got part of the MMR vaccine, which means they were going to have some type of inflammatory response from it to decrease the levels of adverse reactions in the group that was actually getting the vaccine. This, again, is a prime example of how we see that the information that they give us, the information to get these vaccines approved, is so far skewed from the very beginning. And here's my thing. If it was this skewed, why is it not getting brought up by the FDA? Why does the FDA not stop the approval of it? Oh, that's right, because they're in bed, the same place the EPA is with Monsanto and glyphosate. This is repetitive. So you have to understand, when you have an alphabet agency like the FDA that's completely bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical and vaccine industrial complex, and they're the ones that are approving these vaccines, and then you see this type of information that comes out now, from Freedom of Information Act, realizing that the MMR vaccine was never safe, it was super skewed, there was no long-term clinical research done, if that, and the control groups were so small and they didn't even have placebo groups that didn't get any of the vaccine whatsoever. This is a prime example of how these numbers are so skewed. I talked yesterday on the Hagmann Report. What we're seeing in New York now, where there's still a lot of backlash, there's already been 56 people in New York City that have been fined with this draconian, tyrannical $1,000 fine now for refusing to get the vaccine. And it was funny because I was reading an article, I think it was from like NBC, and so I kind of wanted to get a few different takes from it, especially from the hardcore left side. And they were saying, New York City now, since October, they've had, you know, 430 cases of the measles. And then they're talking about how, like, 20 of those people have been hospitalized, and, you know, another 15 of them have gone in and had more severe issues. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, so in New York City, since October, in the last, what, almost 8-9 months now, there's been 420 people that have come down with the measles, and a population of 8.6 million people, 400 people have contracted the measles. And then it even says in the thing, however, at this time, there have been no fatalities due to the measles at all, period. Zero deaths. There's been zero deaths out of anybody that's caught the measles in New York. And there's been 400 cases out of 8.5 million people over the last 8 months. That shows you how small of an issue this actually is. More people get the common cold and get sinus infections and have to go on antibiotics than those numbers. This is something that they're not telling you. They put these numbers up there. Oh, my God, there's been 400 people that have gotten the measles now. And you're like, oh, my gosh, it's an epidemic. We are buddies to run. And then you got to look at the entire picture. There's been 400 people out of 8.5 million that have contracted a non-lethal virus, but yet they're telling you you need to be forcibly injected with an MMR vaccine that we know from a Freedom of Information Act was highly skewed and manipulated by Merck and the FDA to get it approved, and that a significant portion, over half of the test subjects, got serious gastrointestinal inflammation and upper respiratory infections after they got the vaccine. So do yourself a favor. Do your research on this. Look at what is really going on. I'm bringing you simple facts. I'm bringing you simple numbers. I'm not even giving you my opinion today. I'm just telling you to look at the facts and ask questions. That is a concept that the American population has forgotten how to do now. We have forgotten how to ask questions. We simply listen to what the puppet media says, and we obey and follow orders. That is not something that is conducive to a free constitutional republic. It does not happen. You always have to ask questions. Why is this being implemented? Who benefits? Where is this going to go from here? What are going to be the ramifications? What are going to be the consequences? What are going to be the positive aspects? You have to ask yourself these questions and not just sit there and blindly follow orders. This, in my opinion, is one key thing they're doing to try to get the general population as compliant as possible. Because if they set everybody up over the next couple of years, you know, we got another flu epidemic, got another measles epidemic, got another Ebola epidemic, and they keep doing this over and over and over and over and over again with the psychological operation trying to force the population into getting these vaccines, they're eventually going to be able to do something, whether or not it's a real pandemic or not. They're going to be able to get the population to surrender their firearms, surrender their freedom and submit into a FEMA camp or whatever you want to call it at the current time to go in and get their vaccine so they'll be protected, because everybody is so terrified of what they have seen over the last couple years. That, in my opinion, is one of the key goals of this psychological operation. And again, that's my opinion. The MMR vaccine, that's not even my opinion. That's facts. Look up the Freedom of Information Act. I'll put this article up on the website today. Do the research and look at the real numbers. There's been 400 people in New York City that have contracted the measles in the last 8 months in a population of 8.6 million people. Do the numbers and use your own head to come to your own conclusion, Dad.
You know, Austin, I loved what you said, and I'm going to phrase it one more different way here, because you're asking and ask questions. Jim Rohn, my friend, may he rest in peace, I did multiple seminars with back in the 90s. It's funny. He's dead. I believe he's in heaven. May he rest in peace. His information is still available online for free on YouTube, so he lives on. And one of the things he talked about was in personal development. In fact, when I did my Maximum Success series, How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free, he was one of the many references that I used in putting together that protocol as far as how to live successfully in all the areas of your life. If you guys don't have that CD set, you need to get it. We've got a few copies left at the office. Now, here's what he said. He was talking about who you hung out with, like your friends. And he said, who are you hanging out with? What is it doing to you, and is that okay? Okay, what are you becoming by who you hang out with? The Bible says the bad company corrupts good character. So here's the question, phrased the way Austin just phrased it. Who are you listening to? What is it doing to you and to your family? And is that okay? Example, if you're listening to the mainstream industrial media complex, drug culture concept, that they own everything, okay? This is the Sabbateans. If you're listening to these guys, and you're following the line with the MMR vaccine or with the Ebola vaccine or the flu shots or the MMR vaccine or all the other stuff, all this other stuff we talked about already, you know, the Gardasil shots, and you're following that, okay? You're eating their GMO foods. You're eating their foods stoked and steeped in glyphosate. Here's the question. You know, what's it doing to you? That's a question. That's not asked. What's it doing to you? What's it doing to your family? I mean, are you obese? Are you on a bunch of different medications because of what they're doing to the food? Are you addicted to their food because of the high fructose corn syrup? Are you having all kinds of health issues? Are you having impotency? Are you having high blood pressure? Are you having diabetes, depression, cancer? What's it doing to you? Well, it does all those things to you. Next question is that okay? Is that okay? A lot of people, Austin, they think, well, as long as I got my six-pack and my TV and I got me a set of rabbit ears, I'm good. And there ain't nothing I need more than a six-pack and a TV and a set of rabbit ears, because I got NFL football on Monday night, and I got basketball, and I got baseball. And I tell you what, boys and girls, I may not be an athlete anymore, but I was at one time, and I sit here on this couch now, and I got my little six-pack here and my Bud Light, and I just sit here and I just drink my beer all night long and watch my sports games, because I used to be like that. I used to be out on that field, and I used to be doing stuff, so I'm going to identify with that sports team, and I'm going to sit here and eat my MSG potato chips, drink my alcohol, get myself into a theta brainwave state, and go ahead and make sure I got a fluoride IV inside of my arm right now, and I'm just going to go ahead and relax. I'm going to go into a dream state, and I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what happens to the world, as long as I got my TV. Guys, you think, shoot, man, I'm telling you guys, a lot of people with a six-pack and a TV, that's all the rest of life. They don't have a future. It's been stripped from them because of health issues, senile dementia, autism, Alzheimer's, heart disease, diabetes, cancer. That's what listening to the mainstream media and the mainstream advertisers get for you. I'm just letting you have that. I'm just straight up, there it is, no sugar-coated. By the way, Facebook has now banned. This is an article from Schron. Now, listen how they phrase it. They always do it this way. Facebook now bans extremist leaders, including Farrakhan Jones and Yiannopoulos, for being dangerous. Okay. Now, here's what they say. Facebook said Thursday it has permanently banned several far-right and anti-Semitic figures and organizations, making sure they list the anti-Semitic figures and organizations in there, including Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, Info host Alex Jones. By the way, InfoWars host Alex Jones has been married to several Jewish ladies, so you can't say the guy's anti-Semitic. That's ridiculous. Milo Yiannopoulos and Laura Loomer, who, by the way, is also Jewish, okay, for being dangerous, a sign that the social network is aggressively enforcing its hate speech policies at a moment when bigoted violence is on the rise around the world. Bigoted violence, remember what a bigot is, somebody who's diametrically opposed to somebody else's value systems. So if I see somebody raping a child and I say, stop, you pervert, and I beat them up, his value systems, he likes little kids, I'm a bigot to him. Bigot doesn't mean anything. Bigot means that you don't like what somebody else is doing because it's opposed to your value systems. All right? So are you saying, Ted, that you're a bigot? Well, when it comes to hurting little children, yeah, I'm bigoted against that. How about that? When it comes to all these weird perversions that you see, yeah, I'm pretty bigoted against that too. All of that stuff I'm bigoted against. Why? Because I don't want to be associated with any of it, and I don't want to be seen as supporting any of it. But then again, I'm bigoted to some preachers on TV who only care about how much money they bring in and how many private jets they have. I'm not necessarily bigoted towards the word they're preaching if they're preaching the word of God, but I'm bigoted towards their lifestyles. So I guess I could be a person who could be bigoted towards a lot of things. But now they're saying that if you don't agree with somebody else, that you're a bigot, which is okay. Because Facebook said that it's going to remove the accounts, fan pages, and groups affiliated with these individuals, both Facebook and its sister site, Instagram, after it reevaluated the content they had posted previously or had examined their activities outside of Facebook. Now, you hear what they're saying? You hear what they're saying? They examined their activities outside of Facebook. This is the thought police. You haven't put any stuff on Facebook, but you said this one time on a talk show 5 years ago, and we've examined it, and so now we're going to take you down. Whoa. Did they just say that? They said that. We've always banned individuals and organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate regardless of ideology. Lie. It's a lie. The process for evaluating potential violators is extensive. Lie. It's what they won't even tell you what it is. And it's what led us to our decision to remove these accounts, as Facebook said in a statement. The social network, which for years has resisted taking a more aggressive stance on extremism. Okay, I'm stopping here right now because I'm not going to read more of their crap. Facebook, okay? Rothschild. Rothschild funded, CIA funded, government controlled, Rothschild funded organization from the get-go, with the billions of dollars requiring for infrastructure and expansion. Totally control group network that other people have used against their captors, and they have to get these people off now because their captors are getting angry that we woke up. Here's another article. The complete deplatforming of all vices, the voices that don't worship Democrats, abortions, and open borders. Yeah, pretty much sums it up. Why is that? Why is that? Number one, full-term abortions. That's one of their little mainstays they want. We quit talking about that a few months ago because it's so nasty to all of us. It's awful. Full-term abortions, which was, by the way, first legalized in Israel and brought to New York City. Democrats, let's talk about Democrats real quick. That's the group of people pretty much that are the communists. The entire root of this Democratic Party came over from Russia in the 1900s, early 1900s, 20s and 30s into the United States and started this is all Rothschild controlling groups, started Hollywood. First with the silent pictures because nobody spoke English coming to the United States, and they had silent pictures that I could understand. And they set up these giant studios to promote their ideology and their communism, which was then pointed out, you know, back in the 50s. And basically, we had the Red Scare that was going on. And then we basically had, you know, the senator going out and telling everybody that these communists had taken over Hollywood. And in fact, they did, and they had. And, of course, open borders. This is being funded through George Soros. Rothschild funded George Soros to destroy nationalism. Frankfurt School, MK Ultra, Playboy, Gloria Steinem, Marilyn Monroe. They brought us all this stuff to stop nationalism and to destroy the fabric of our society. All of it. All of it. Now the deplatforming of conservative voices, all of it. Due to the globalist left, Rothschild, This is who these guys are. Or you could say wizards, druids, fallen angel worshipers. Pick a number, pick a name. It doesn't make a difference. ISIS, you know, Egypt, all the weird stuff. All of this stuff is from these clowns. And this is the same group that I've said before that did all of the stuff, who took down Building 7, who killed JFK, World War I, World War II, Civil War in the United States, all of it. The support of Abraham Lincoln, the greatest tyrant we've ever had. All of it. Same group of people. Federal Reserve Bank. All of it. Same guys. What do you think, Austin?
No doubt about it. And that's how we've seen the continued trend go as far as in taking over all these countries and continuing to push the agenda. I just got an article yesterday from one of my buddies who actually was a prior contractor. There's an article that was brought out by Reuters last week. Actually, it wasn't last week. It was 3 days ago. I just pulled it up again. Private security firm Blackwater founder Eric Prince. If you guys remember, Eric Prince was the individual that actually brought together Blackwater. Blackwater was the notorious, unbelievably huge, it became huge, private contractor group that was one of the main contracting groups in Iraq. They were one of the also ones that were involved in the town shooting over in Iraq where they shot, if I'm not mistaken, it was like 14 civilians. They got in a gunfight. They thought somebody had an AR or an AK. Ended up opening up. It was a huge investigation. Everybody ended up walking eventually, but Blackwater was essentially had to change the name from all the flack. So Eric Prince, he's that founder. He has now presented a plan to help overthrow socialist Venezuelan President Maduro with a force of 5,000 private military contractors, according to Reuters. Prince has been seeking investments from wealthy exiled Venezuelans and garnering favor with influential figureheads in the United States and Europe. The White House declined to answer if Prince has presented his proposal to President Trump yet, but while the idea of a private military company overthrowing a nation at the behest of the U.S. government seems extreme, the U.S. military will want to keep the smallest official presence possible to minimize political blowback, hence why contractors are usually involved. And usually private security contractors easily fill several roles in an invasion, including logistical training and security. The following video that was actually on this article from March 2019 from like 7 weeks ago, shows an interview with Prince and discusses his prior involvement with the Iraq war as well as his current plan he has to privatize Afghans' security as an exit strategy for NATO. Remember, we talked about it a couple months ago, back in January. Blackwater put an article out, and I think Guns and Ammo basically said Blackwater is coming back, and they've already procured numerous contracts from what I have found through a couple of my sources and going into Afghanistan. So once the United States military starts to withdraw out of Afghanistan, there is going to be a significant contractor presence in Afghanistan that is going to stay there for the foreseeable future to protect our interest in the poppy production that is over there. That's just a fact. There's no other reason for contractors to be in Afghanistan, because they pretty much already found out. We currently, on the books, we have, I think, 14,000 troops in Afghanistan still. That's what they have on the books. There's no telling how many contractors are already there or any SOCOM or special operations guys that are operating in that country. They're essentially blacklisted as far as they're not listing them on current operations. So once they do that, they can probably take the entire group down to about 6,000 to 8,000 contractors in Afghanistan to protect the key aspects of the poppy production, because you have to remember, a lot of these contractors, remember, they're not bound by the rules of military engagement or military law. These guys operate on their own authority in a foreign country. This is what happened in Iraq, why they got so much blowback, because they kept getting in gunfights with individuals that didn't have guns and executing people that didn't have guns. So when they're over there, they don't have to worry about rules of engagement as far as normal army infantry does. If they're over there and they have orders and that's their contract to defend this area, they just get in a gunfight and shoot anybody on site that shows up within the perimeter of the compound that they're guarding or they're taking over. That's how these guys operate. So it will be much more efficient to allow Blackwater contractors to protect Poppy than it is to have U.S. military wrapped up in, what is it now, an 18-year war in Afghanistan, primarily a lot of the political blowback, because now they've even done polls that says there's only like 20% of the American population that has a semblance of support for the Afghan war now. Everybody's over it. I told you guys last month, we had the first private in the Afghan war that got deployed over there, private, 17 years old, that was born after 9/11. After 9/11. That's how long we've been in Afghanistan now. So it looks like Blackwater has found its calling again and making millions of dollars as contract work, and they want to go in and do a full coup d'etat in Venezuela, which from a political standpoint, it would be much more efficient and safer to have Blackwater go do that. And again, it seems to be that is where we're starting to head, as we've been doing it for the last 20 years, is allowing private contractors or mercenaries to handle our foreign engagements when it's no longer politically beneficial for the U.S. military to handle those situations, Dad.
You know, Austin, you and I called this out a year ago. We've been calling it out for the last 2 years, how these private contractors, they don't have to abide the rule of law of the United States military. They can kill civilians at will. They can just do whatever they want. They can kill children, men. They can kill anybody. Does it make a difference? There's no country to go after. They're paid mercenaries. Then you got to prove who paid them, and they're not going to talk. They're not going to say anything. It's kind of like when the CIA sends armed troops in black operations behind enemy lines, and they yank their dog tags off, and they take them out of uniform. And they go, "We don't know you. If you get caught behind enemy lines, you're on your own. We're not coming back to get you. You're not supposed to be there." It's like that movie that was so big a few years ago, the one that Mark Wahlberg played in. I guess it was called Sniper, or whatever it was. I know it wasn't called Sniper, it was called something else. And he was basically behind enemy lines.
Lone Survivor.
Yeah, that's right. And he was one Lone Survivor. It was the one where he was up on that hill with a 50 caliber, and he was protecting this group of people.
Oh, yeah, it was Sniper. The beginning of Sniper.
And they told him, and then as soon as they saw that he was about to get caught, they turned the radio off, and he goes, "We're on our own." And they left him deep behind enemy lines to get his own. And of course, his partner gets killed. They don't care. They've got no identifying marks on them. I'm sure the serial numbers are off the guns, or they're using guns from another country, but they're using that 50 caliber bear or something. They may have ground the serial numbers down on it, but of course, they would have done that for the movie because it was a movie. But the reality is this: this is what happens with these doggone special ops, and this is why. I remember years ago, Austin, when you were about to go into the Marine Corps as an officer in the OCS program, and we had that one sergeant, and that guy was big, and he used to carry like 30 magazines with him. He said he went into battle, and the guy's all muscled up. He's
Master
in his
30s. Sergeant Cook.
That's him. And he said he was going to go and work as a private contractor, and he's going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year because they need that skill set these guys have, that be able to kill without thinking about it, or to train other people to kill without thinking about it. And that's what they do now. So they don't have to go in and send their own military in there and get caught. As far as they know, these guys get caught. These were revolutionaries. This was ISIS. This was a group of people basically that were the neo-Nazis. We always like bringing neo-Nazis. Just whatever. But that way they have no allegiance to any nationality. Talk about neo-Nazis. This is the Times of Israel. They have an article this morning. It says the siren call, quote unquote, of a Fourth Reich is spreading, warns a Nazi Germany expert. Well, they got to be old. Not since the demise of the Nazi Germany have fears and ambitions of a so-called Fourth Reich reached their current level of intensity, according to the author of a new book, In the Fourth Reich, The Specter of Nazism from World War II to the Present. Historian Gabriel D. Rosenfeld brings his counterfactual what-if approach to the idea of a new empire based on Nazi ideals. It's a dystopian future founded on decades-old phenomenon. Guys, you know, I hate to say this about the guy. I'm not necessarily saying that this thing's going to happen or whatever is going to happen. But a lot of these Nazis, they really did spend a lot of money in buying a whole bunch of businesses and industries around the world and setting up all kinds of dummy corporations and corporate directorships, including, oh, here we go. Here we go, guys. The guy who tried to stage a coup against the United States of America in 1933, by trying to enlist Smedley Butler, Marine Corps general, basically awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor to come in and do a hostile overthrow of the United States communist government of Franklin Delano Roosevelt by Prescott Bush, who was buddies with Hitler. Whoa, I just said that. I can't believe I just said that, but I did say that. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. And Prescott Bush got busted for Trading with the Enemies Act. So a lot of what they're saying is true, but not the anti-Semitism part as far as the Nazis. But that group of people, including Prescott Bush and the Bushes, I mean, think about it. He's Senator Prescott Bush, President George H. Bush, President George W. Bush. They were all rooted in this mess. You know, the Skull and Bones, secret society, all based out of Germany. I mean, a lot of these fascist beliefs and this running the government and running the government corporations through a central location is what they're doing right now. It's what they're doing right now. I mean, the government controls Facebook. The government controls, you know, YouTube. The government controls all these things through their organizations and institutions, and they're cut out groups of people and individuals through the Rothschild banking cartel. They're using the same model. And this is the crazy thing about all of it. But here's the deal. One thing that Hitler did do right, he threw out the European Rothschild Central Bank in Germany, is either in 1935 or in 38. Can't get real numbers on that. I mean, I've read both. And started printing his own debt-free currency, which just absolutely just got these guys so mad they went nuts. And then they had to overthrow the Third Reich. But remember, before that even happened, in 1933, you know, Hitler basically had the Reichstag burned, according to historians, so he could install himself as Führer and take control of the government. And then he made a lot of changes and got rid of a lot of the political corruption, a lot of the filth, and a lot of the trash. Then he went nuts with all the power that he had. I mean, and all the drugs they were giving him and all the stuff that happened. I mean, what a mess that whole thing in Germany was back in the 30s. And the biggest victims of the entire thing were the 50, 60, 70 million Germans who basically died during that war, and the 12 to 15 million who starved to death 7 years after the war, and the millions of German soldiers that Eisenhower let starve to death after the war, and the up to half a million German citizens who died in Dresden as a blood sacrifice by the Druid Winston Churchill right at the end of the war. And of course, all the American soldiers that died, they were a horrible tragedy. And all the European soldiers that died, they were a horrible tragedy. All to facilitate another Rothschild war. Got to look at who did it. Real people died. Real people died. I mean, this isn't some kind of game. Talk about false flags. You talk about real people not dying. Real people died. Hundreds of millions. Look at Stalin's scourge. 50, 60 million dead. Burning churches with people in them from the Orthodox Church. They still remember. That's why they pulled all the statues down from Lenin and Stalin and those nuts. Guys, it was a horrible war. All banker orchestrated. They benefited from both sides by funding it. So, guys, when they start coming in and saying, warning, this is happening again, yeah. It never stopped happening, guys. It never stopped happening. By the way, Fox News, and we've already called them out years ago, is pretty much abandoning all journalistic integrity by promoting and parroting the lies of Big Pharma and Big Vaccine. Gosh, we've got Fox News now basically promoting abortion, promoting vaccines, all the fake news that's going out about all of this stuff. Why? Why would Fox News do this? Rothschild, again. It's all owned by the same people, 95%. It's part of that narrative that I read yesterday on the Hagman show of what Otto Kahn said, they control both sides. I've read that to you guys several times. I'm not going to read it again today. They control both sides of the media. Because when the one media gets a little bit too strong and people start questioning certain narratives, like people are really starting to question vaccines. I mean, really starting to question them. I mean, now about half the people that I talk to either aren't following the full vaccine protocol or are not vaccinating at all. And I'm talking total strangers who don't listen to this show because everybody's scared to have their children come down with senile dementia, autism, or whatever else could happen to them with all these things they're injecting into them, or chronic autoimmune disease. Guys, it's so important that you wake up your friends. Listen to me. Listen. Tell them to listen to this show. I'm going to tell them the truth, best of my knowledge. If I make a mistake, you've heard me do it. I'll come back and I'll correct it. But, guys, it's so important to realize what they're doing to you. What is it doing to you? What they're saying to you, is it okay? Again, I repeat what Austin said earlier. Ask yourself a question. Learn how to analyze and think through these ridiculous scenarios and things that they're giving you guys. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. And that's just exactly what we continue to try to bring up on the show as much as possible, is ask questions. And that's a point in time in this country or any other country, as we saw in Australia, where the billboard went up and it said, "Do you know what's in your vaccine?" Question mark. That was it. And it had a huge blowback on the prime minister, ended up making them take it down after like 2-3 days. That's the problem. When you reach a point in a country where you can no longer ask questions about something, when you can no longer question the narrative, that is when you know you're in a full-blown tyrannical regime. And that is exactly what we're seeing start to happen in the mainstream media, with the leftists, with this communist agenda, all of it, to the point that they don't even want you having the ability to ask a question. It's forbidden to ask a question about this. Very, very interesting times. Also, too, there's an article from Zoopodakis on health. He said seven healthy eating habits that really aren't healthy. So seven healthy eating habits that really are something you should stay away from. And something I just wanted to kind of glance through over all these and give them to you. He actually had some pretty good pointers in here of a very common misconceptions that people do when they're trying to eat healthy and they really aren't eating healthy. This, the first one is cutting out all fat. This is a big fad years ago, the fat-free diet. They always continually talk about, oh, you need to cut this fat out. And I still hear it all the time. Oh, I'm trying to get my cholesterol down. I don't eat eggs. I won't eat eggs. That's a complete and total lie. Avocado, whole eggs, whole organic eggs, fish, salmon, wild caught, not farm raised, and other things of those like have numerous health benefits. The same thing on that list was cholesterol in food, previously thought and still repeated imperative by the medical industrial complex to people. I mean, I had a customer that came in the other day, not a customer, he was basically a friend that's come in and bought some stuff occasionally, but he is a customer. And he said, well, I'm trying to get my cholesterol down. I said, well, here's a couple different supplements. And I said, you need to get some healthy fats in because his HDLs were real low. And I said, we need to get them up. I said, you need to throw in some avocados. You need to throw in some eggs. And he goes, oh, well, I eat eggs a lot, but I always take the yolk out. My doctor told me he doesn't want me having any fats. And I said, golly, I said, if I hear one more idiot doctor make that comment that you don't need to eat any fats and don't need to eat any whole eggs when you're trying to get your HDLs up, I'm going to smack somebody in the face. I'm just kidding, but I'm being serious, kind of. It's so obnoxious to hear that lies. That's been disproven years ago that dietary cholesterol, especially healthy cholesterol like in egg yolks, has zero to little impact whatsoever on blood cholesterol levels negatively. So something you need to look at. Also, too, eating diet products and or processed healthy food. A lot of times you see the natural food on wrappers, healthy diet food, stuff like that. A lot of this stuff they'll say, you know, is a light salad dressing or a low-fat yogurt. Most of these times they put crammed full of sugar, preservatives, chemicals to keep them stable, not to mention a lot of times they add all types of different things to it to make it, honestly, less healthier than it would if it just had normal fat in it, or if they actually use pure ingredients instead of trying to compromise the integrity of it. Also, too, another one that I hear of all the time is, I'm going completely gluten-free. Everything's gluten-free. So now you see a lot of these food products that always say gluten-free on them all the time. Here's the issue with that. Yes, a lot of people have a response to gluten because of the glyphosate exposure. People have eaten bread for thousands of years. Thousands of years. It's been a staple. I mean, you got all kinds of rye, wheat, barley. They all have gluten. They all have gluten in them. There's never an issue thousands of years ago. It's a staple. However, when you start spraying down all these products with glyphosate 3 days before you harvest them, you tend to have a serious issue. When people start ingesting large amounts of glyphosate, they start having huge gastrointestinal inflammation, which is why I believe is a huge contributor to a lot of this stuff that's going on. The issue you run into now where the whole thing is this gluten-free diet, everything's gluten-free, especially processed stuff. Well, the only way to get gluten-free is to use a substitute, and in most cases that is corn. Corn is loaded with glyphosate in most cases. So they use all types of different sugar, high glycemic carbohydrates to take out any gluten out of it. So a lot of times it's not better to do that stuff. It's better just to actually eat a pure, clean diet that's organic and glyphosate free. Also, too, number five on the list was downing sports drinks all the time. I see this very commonly, people drinking Gatorade, Powerade, the list goes down the line. Even some of the cleaner ones that don't have high fructose corn syrup in them, they're loaded with dextrose. Dextrose is a very simple sugar. It digests incredibly quick and it raises blood sugar fast. If you're an athlete that's running 2 or 3 hour marathons, very beneficial to have dextrose drinks while you're in your marathon to keep the energy going. 95% of the population that drinks these drinks does not run 2 and 3 hour marathons. They're going to the gym and doing cardio or working out for 20 to 30 minutes, which that completely negates the aspect of burning body fat while you're shoveling in 40, 50 grams of dextrose during your workout. Now, if you're a bodybuilder and you know how to utilize that, that's a different story, but in most cases it's unnecessary. Also, another one in there is cutting out all food groups. I see this a lot of times, people say, oh, I'm going completely carb-free. I'm not eating any carbs. I'm going keto, zero carbs for the next 8 weeks. Some people respond to that. The problem is it really decreases the efficiency of the thyroid and also to the metabolism once you start going zero carbs. Carbs are a necessity because carbs are also fiber. Green beans, broccoli, lima beans, spinach, those are all carbohydrates. And it drives me to the wall when I hear people go on these keto diets and all they eat is cheese and meat, and like that's it. And they're like, I'm so plugged up, I feel so horrible, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, you're eating meat and dairy all day with zero fiber. Yeah, it's probably not going to be that beneficial. So those are some key things that I saw in there. Just want to kind of throw out some of those health topics because those are a lot of things that people make mistakes on that I wanted to address them.
You know, it's so funny, Austin. It's the U.S. is plugged up from the East Coast to the West Coast, and the keto diet's not helping anything.
Yeah.
That's why so many people have so many problems with their intestinal tracts and inflammation, lack of fiber. Make sure it's organic, though. There's several brands of organic green beans you can get in cans, and they're pre-cooked. So you have to cook them for 2 hours on the stove, and they actually taste really good, especially if you put a little bit of honey mustard with them, Amy's honey mustard, and a little bit of salt. They taste great. You mix them with some grilled chicken, and you get all the fiber and chicken and protein, and it's hardly any calories, to be honest with you. It's probably a couple hundred calories, and it's a great way to burn fat and maintain lean muscle mass at the same time. You can take the skin off the chicken if you're really trying to cut up, or leave the fat on there for a little bit of additional dietary fat to slow up the absorption of the rest of it. I love you guys. I appreciate you. You guys are awesome. Have a wonderful weekend. You know, I had the privilege and the opportunity again this morning to pray for you, and it means so much to me. You guys are family. And so many of you contact me, and I mean, I'm getting thousands of emails. And guys, I answer them as quickly as I can. And a lot of folks don't really ask me to answer them. They just give me something to send out. They send something to me. So please don't get mad at me if I don't answer those. And thank you so much for just keeping your emails consolidated. So if you put 10 or 12 items on one email, that's great. And it's not that it takes so long to read the individual emails, but you have to open click, download, all that kind of stuff. It adds a lot of time to it. I love you. I appreciate you. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Austin, go ahead and close it up.
Absolutely, bud. I really appreciate all the continued support. Thank you for everybody. All of our listeners, our Health Masters family, thank you for taking care of us and spreading the information and waking people up. Again, this is what we're trying to do, is make people ask questions. Whatever conclusion you come to, that's absolutely fine. That's completely fine. Whether it's right or wrong, in my opinion, it doesn't matter. As long as you do the research and use your mind to come to your conclusion, don't just follow the parroted circus clown multimedia show that we have on television all day long and all day night. This is going to get more aggressive. The propaganda is going to get more aggressive, and the rhetoric is going to get even more aggressive. So you have to start seeing what they're doing and make your own informed decision. So we appreciate the support. Thank you for signing up for our free weekly newsletter. Forwarding our show, be sure to check out the product of the week that won, our one and only Ultimate Multiple powder form. Incredibly great product. We put it in a lot of different stuff, and as far as you can put in shakes, protein shakes, smoothies, everything. Really good product, staple, needs to be a base of every supplement stack. On sale right now for over 10% off. Be sure to check it out at healthmasters.com. You guys have a fantastic Friday and a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday as always.